Hello, and thank you for tuning in. You are listening to BiteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.BiteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this special Bringing Inspiration to Earth show today. Before I bring on today's guest, I do want to remind everyone that tomorrow's show will be at a different time. It'll be also a special show. It will be our fourth anniversary radio show. So 4 years ago today, we started broadcasting, and we're going to have tomorrow's show. It will be at a later time. It'll start at 8 p.m. Again, so I hope you'll join us for it. I'll be reviewing what happened over the last year, some of our favorite guests, and we'll also have some messages from former guests and hopefully some call-ins from listeners. So hope you'll join me for that. Well, today I have a very special guest. Her name is Amy Ostreicher. And Amy is an actress, musician, composer, dancer, writer, artist, yogi, foodie, and general lover of life. Overcoming challenging medical circumstances, Amy began to investigate new productions and hobbies. She started a chocolate business, learned to cook, and authored a food blog. She taught herself to paint and created mixed media acrylics and put up 3 art shows within 1 year. She learned karate, tai chi, and yoga, as well as teaching nursery school and assisting biology classes. She wrote a one-act play, a graphic novel, started her autobiography, and accomplished her biggest dream to date, which was to tell her story in the medium she's always loved best, the theater. In 2012, she wrote and starred in Gutless and Grateful, a musical feast, a one-woman musical about her unique journey. And Amy's Gutless and Grateful production is part of the 5th anniversary season of the United Solo, and she has a show on October 11th, but unfortunately for you right now, that show is sold out. But fortunately for you, she does have another show scheduled for November 13th at 9 p.m. It is at the Theater Row on West 42nd Street in New York. And I do have all of the information as far as where the show is, the phone number to call, and also you can get tickets through Telecharge. I have a direct link to them as well. So if you're in the New York area, definitely do yourself a favor and get yourself a seat right away with Amy. So with that, I'd like to welcome Amy to the show. Good day, Amy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How about yourself?
I'm great. I'm getting ready for my show next weekend, so I'm pretty psyched.
I would think so. I mean, this is great. It's wonderful that your show is sold out, that it's such an accolade to be able to have it and to be asked to go back and do another show.
Oh, I'm so excited. You know, I was so thrilled to be part of this festival. You know, it's a whole showcase of just, you know, one-person performances. I just think the medium is just such a fascinating thing. You know, just to tell my story with all these people is just a really big honor. So I'm very excited.
Well, that's great. And if I were in New York, I would be sure to have a seat there in the November, in the November one. But unfortunately, I'm a little far away from you. But you know, during today's show, I do have several musical clips that will play throughout the show and give the listeners a really good taste of your music in composition. And but to start with, you know, you're one of those people that I love to have on the show because your story is truly inspirational. I mean, you have overcome some very challenging hardship early in life, and you know, I would really like for you to share that story, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, that really is a driving force of why you do so much.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very long story, but the point is that the best part of what I've been through is that I get to use what I love, you know, my craft, you know, doing shows, singing, you know, to use that to tell what I've been through and have that really inspire other people is just the biggest reward of everything. You know, my story starts with, you know, musical theater and singing and something I love to do my entire life. And then I developed a blood clot pretty suddenly. And, of course, you'll learn about this in my show, but my stomach exploded and I was in a coma for months. And when I woke up, eventually, I was told that I didn't have a stomach anymore. And I just couldn't eat or drink. And no one knew when I'd be able to or if I'd be able to. And, you know, once that sunk in, if it ever could sink in, it was a very scary thought because there was no timetable. You know, no one was saying, well, you know, you just need, you know, a few months of surgeries and recuperation and then everything should be fine. It was this open-ended, you know, timeless void of this is what you have right now, which was very strange considering, you know, my last memory was sitting in my, you know, 12th grade classroom, you know, waiting for, you know, the year to end. And suddenly I was told, you know, I couldn't go back to school. It was very strange for me because it felt like I was sort of snatched out of my own life. Suddenly, you know, I couldn't walk. I couldn't even talk. I had medical apparatus on me that I had never been exposed to before. So everything was different, but I still felt like myself, which was very weird. It was like I stepped into someone else's life. So, you know, since I still had that sort of a fire in me, it was very hard for me to accept that I was now a patient in a hospital when the worst thing I had was like allergies before this. So I just kept that mentality, and that was really what helped me survive. I just told myself, you know, I'm not just going to be a sick kid in bed. And I just, you know, lived my life as best as I could as though that were not the circumstance. You know, I just, I kept busy. You know, I got into art and painting. I still performed when I could. And I just, you know, even though it was hard, you know, being in public when I couldn't eat or drink or anything, you know, I did local musicals and I just kept living my life as though I was going to live my life. And it was not the life I had imagined for myself, but I got through by just staying true to my passion. And so what happened was I did a lot of journaling when I couldn't eat and drink. That was sort of my way of, you know, marking time and keeping to myself and staying sane. And then I ended up being on the Today Show for all the art I was doing. And David Friedman and Kathy Lee, they honored me by writing a song for me called Still Alive. And so I ended up approaching David Friedman saying, you know, I really love your work, and he writes beautiful music. I'd love to, you know, collaborate with you or help put my story into some kind of show or, you know, since I love performing so much. And, you know, he was very sweet and we worked together and soon enough, it turned into a piece of theater, you know, using my journaling and songs that really resonated with me, the song he wrote, a song I wrote. And then I started, you know, collaborating with, you know, an old friend that had musical directed me when I was 13. And we really made this a piece. And it started at the Triad in New York City. And it was very strange for me because, you know, these are things that I went through on my own, and they were tough, but it it became my life. So to share my story with other people and see that it was inspiring them to go through, you know, to get through a hardship in their own life was so amazing for me, because as a performer, I always, that was my connection to the world, to feel vital. And as a performer, as a kid, the most important thing to me was feeling like by doing my art, I was making a difference. So the biggest fear for me when I woke up from the coma was, you know, oh my God, am I going to just fade into, you know, will I not make a difference anymore? Am I just going to be taken care of my entire life? So this was really, you know, everything coming full circle, that I can still connect with the world and inspire other people and perform and do what I love, but now in an even deeper way than I had never anticipated. So it's funny. Sometimes you're led on detours and it's frustrating and you want to say, why did this happen? But, you know, I think the best part is coming to a moment of realization and acceptance that this isn't what I planned, but this is nice and maybe even better, you know. So that is my story in a nutshell.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, and it, you know, that is just so true. You know, the whole, first of all, I mean, I can't imagine, you know, at 18 going through something and having your stomach explode. I mean, to me, you know, and then, you know, to wake up with that, I mean, that has to have been, you know, just, I couldn't comprehend. I mean, you know, as, you know, even as an adult, you know, I couldn't, you know, imagine what my thoughts would be, you know, at that particular point. And, you know, of course, being an 18-year-old, I mean, you have your whole life before you. And it's, so it's, I'm sure that had to have been.
Right. Well, I mean, my last memory that day, you know, my stomach exploded that night, you know, after our Passover dinner, I remember going to my neighbor's house and having a big discussion with her about what college I should go to. I had just gotten my acceptance letters, and I remember that seemed like the biggest problem in my life. Like, I was comparing them, you know, having this internal battle, and suddenly, the next minute, all my problems are completely different on a much larger scale. And I remember waking up from the coma, and one of the first questions I asked was, you know, so when am I going to college? What happened with that? And hearing that you can't exactly go back to school, I didn't understand. I felt like I was in jail. Like, suddenly these doctors were telling me I couldn't leave a unit. Like, I'm in prison. Yeah. So it was almost sort of comical, because, you know, I was the patient that was pretty feisty, that didn't understand what happened. like, you guys aren't my mother. Like, why can't I go? So, you know, there are some funny stories I share in my act. Like, my parents actually, you know, snuck me out of the ICU, and we went to shopping around Columbia Presbyterian, and we did get in trouble, but you'll learn about that. But I think that's the key thing, too. I mean, we got through, you know, first of all, because I have an amazing family and a wonderful network of support around me, but also just through humor. You know, some situations are almost feel too satirical to be real, you know. So we all kept the mentality that, you know, things were going to be fine as long as you laugh through it, even when people thought we were crazy. Like, you realize how serious this is? We did. But, you have to find what you can in it to get through. You know, mentality is a big part of this, I learned. You know, I see small problems can feel so self-defeating when you just dwell on them. Even if you can't see the bigger picture, you know, you got to pretend it's there. And that's sort of what my art did for me, you know. Putting this show together and doing everything I did, it helped me create a world that maybe something good could come out of this. And eventually it did. So I think my show is mostly about hope, even if people are, as you think, you're crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I watched I watched that wonderful segment with Kathy Lee and Hoda, and you could tell your parents were just very loving people, you know, and your dad being a doctor, I mean, that had to have been, you know, I mean, a doctor seeing their child go through that, I mean, it probably was one of the most challenging times of his life, you know, as well, to, be trained and do that.
And my amazing parents, you know, I was 18, you know, theoretically I could have stayed in the hospital myself, which, you know, a lot of people have to do. You know, my parents slept in the ICU with me every night. By the end of our months there, you know, I have three brothers, they stayed sometimes. Everyone on the unit was looking at us like, well, you guys really moved in. And by the end of that time, it really looked like we had made a little house in that little ICU cubicle. It was pretty amusing. We set up, like, cups in the aisles and went bowling. My brother's a musician, so they walk around the unit with their guitars, like, making up songs about the nurses. My brother even dated one of the nurses. there was never any other family like ours, I'm sure.
Well, yeah. Well, that support has to have been very critical, I would think, in really helping you get through that. And because I would think, you know, that you're going through that and then having your world turned upside down, that, you know, as far as thinking of the future and that kind of thing, it might have been difficult, but having them there, you're really kind of focused on the present and getting healthy and going day by day.
Right. You know, the one most important thing my family did is, you know, they made me remember who I was. Everything was different. Most of my memories initially were, you know, just memories of the feeling, you know, because I was, you know, in bed and couldn't move and just heard a lot of voices around me. You know, I would, you know, put my hands on my neck and I would feel like a bag there, but I couldn't look down. I didn't know. I felt like an alien. Everything was different. And it was very weird feeling chained up. You know, all of a sudden I have tubes connected to me and I would almost look at the nurses, you know, scurrying across the halls and I would forget what that felt like to just walk around freely. So, you know, I just felt like a something. And to have, you know, voices that could recognize me, you know, there was also a sense of loss, you know, with doctors and nurses just treating you like a patient. You know, when I wanted to say, mm-hmm. wait, I used to be on stage. I used to be doing a tap dance thing. you don't know me. I'm not a patient. You know, and my family was there for that groundedness. Like, you know, we know who you are. My father always said, you know, he left my light on in my bedroom. You know, when I got back, so that was very comforting for me.
Yeah, I'm sure that. Now, one of the things that I noticed, and you mentioned that the song Still Alive was, the lyricist was Kathy Lee. Can you tell us a little, because I have that clip, and I want to play that a little bit, but if you wouldn't mind, I would like for you to maybe share with the listeners a little bit about that, how that all came to be, and I noticed your reaction to it on the video clip was very heartfelt.
Yeah, well, it's apparently it's a segment they do every month on the Today Show. Kathy Lee and Hoda, they do a segment called Everyone Has a Story, where someone, you know, who they feel is inspiring is honored. And I guess my mom had written into me after I had put up an art show. You know, after, you know, I've had 27 surgeries, and for more than half of them, something's gone wrong every time, which prompts the next surgery. So after this time, I just spent hours and hours and hours in my art studio just painting and painting. It was one of the many times the surgeon said, stop eating and drinking till your wound heals. So I just created manically, and soon enough I put up 70 paintings in an art show. And I guess my mom wrote about how it was very inspiring because I didn't just wait for things to get better. I just pretended like things were better and made an art show. So they had me on for that. And Kathy Lee, every month she writes the lyrics and collaborates with David Friedman, who composes it. And David Friedman, you know, does amazing music and work for the cabaret and theater community. I've always loved his songs. And so they just get a Broadway performer to sing the song. And so they had me on with my parents, and they're like, okay, we have a song for you about what you've been through. So, you know, we expected, you know, a little ballad about, you know, things are tough, but I can persevere. But it turned into a really bright, optimistic song that I think really captured my attitude through it. So this was a song they wrote, and the recording you're hearing is actually my brother playing on piano. My brother's an amazing musician who's actually playing in the 4-piece band for my show. So this was just a little demo we were singing.
Okay, great. Now, and this is one song that is included in Gutless and Gratitude?
Yeah, Gutless and Grateful.
Gutless and Grateful? Grateful.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
No, Gratitude.
Okay.
No, that's fine. But, yes, they wrote one song, I wrote one song, and then the rest are just songs that really resonated with me from all over.
Okay, great. Well, we're going to go ahead and listen to the song, and it's about 2 minutes, so everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back.
My life was full of promise, 18, with my best days ahead, when I found myself in a coma. Barely a heartbeat, fast dead. But I had so much to live for, I did. I just couldn't give up. So I found the strength to keep living and drink the half-filled cup. Guess what? I'm still alive. I'm still here by my will. I knew I just had to survive. Now there's not a day that my heart doesn't sing. If I'm still alive, I can do anything. And I will, 'cause I'm still alive. My life was full of danger, it was. There seemed no hope for me when I found myself at a crossroad. But in my agony, I still could see I was here, still alive. And by God's will, I just knew that I had to survive. Now there's not a day that my heart doesn't sing. If I'm still alive, I can do anything. And I will, I surely will.
Okay, everyone, and that was the song Still Alive, and it was it's a wonderful song, and Amy, I just love that. It really does reflect an optimistic view.
Yeah, and it was very cool to have a song written about me. How often do people get to say that?
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have woken up some days thinking, boy, I'm still alive. So I guess I'm going to have to do something today. But for people who, you know, sometimes, you know, life can be a little bit challenging. You know, it's important to kind of start the day with a little bit of vim and vigor. You know what I mean? It's like another day. You know, let me go ahead and see what I can create.
Well, yeah, you know, my show is Gutless and Grateful for a reason. It really is my lifestyle. I mean, I'm not going to get up on a high horse and say I'm always thankful for everything and I have this wonderful attitude no matter what. But, you know, even when things were at the worst, I was always able to either just look at the sky and say, you know what, the sky is blue and I can feel my pulse and I can breathe and I'm here. It doesn't even have to be any deeper than that. Just sort of an affirmation of, wow, whatever I am right now, I don't know who the heck I am after all this, but I'm here, and that's a great feeling. As, you know, as wonderful as things can be at that moment, find something.
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very much so. Now, one of the things, first of all, I want to let listeners know that you fit our show in between two classes in college. So I really appreciate that. I mean, it's like you came out of one class and have this interview, and then you can be going into another. So it looks like you actually were able to get to college, huh?
Well, that's another thing I'm grateful for, that, you know, it was a big bummer that I was not able to go to college at 18. And like I said, my life was put on hold. So I had this dream that, you know, I wanted to learn. I wanted to also feel like I was doing what all my friends were doing. You know, for years I just sort of was waiting for my surgeries to pass and things to, quote unquote, get better. And, you know, my friends went to college, you know, got their degrees, got jobs, and I had this, you know, fantasy of, like, being in the real world and being an adult. You know, I felt very stalled. So I kept telling myself, I'm going to go to college, and years and years went by, and I started to think, is this really going to happen? So I'm in my second year of Hampshire College, and I'm 27, but I think everyone should take 8 years off, because I'll tell you, you appreciate it a lot more. You know, my mind is so overstimulated, I can't even take it. I think people look at me like, is she really this into school? But I love it, you know. I feel like my brain has been starved of this kind of stimulation, so I'm happy, and it was actually four classes I fit in today, but I'm on a high from all of it, so it's great.
Wow, four classes, that's a pretty active schedule that you have there. But that's really wonderful that you're able to do that, and you know, and it is interesting that you're able to do it now, you know, because, you know, I think that, you know, as you know, add a few years on from that late teens, you know, that, you know, there is a certain bit of life experience that I think would really make the whole college experience even better.
Oh, totally. You know, when I wasn't in college, but I was doing all this, you know, artistic work, and I was trying to school myself in every way possible. I was reading self-help books like they were textbooks. I told everyone, I'm not in college, but I'm making my own college curriculum, and I sort of was. But coming to college now, you're right, I'm bringing life experience. So I remember, you know, everyone goes through school, and there's busy work, and you're waiting for the minutes to pass, but I really feel like everything I'm doing is sort of, you know, informing my life experience and helping me become a better person, you know, helping my show. I think that's the wonderful thing about when you're older, you get more perspective. So I feel like I'm in heaven right now.
That's
and I've
great.
Always been a little
that's
nerdy,
wonderful.
To be honest.
That's good. Well, you know, we're halfway through the show already, so I want to take just a quick break here for about 3 minutes, and then if anyone would like to call in and ask Amy any questions, feel free to call in. The number is 619-789-4359, and also if you're listening live in the chat room and you would like for me to pose a question to Amy, feel free to type it in, and I will ask her. We'll be back in about 3 minutes, and then when we come back, Amy, I want to talk a little bit more about your show, Gutless and Grateful, and the inspiration behind it, and all kinds of things, because that's quite an accomplishment.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Okay, everyone, stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very brief break.
This is Gail McClellan Powell, intuitive astrologer and divine mystic from divinemystic.com. And I want to tell you about R.P. Sharpe's book, Joy Potential, Where You Least Expect It. This book takes you on a journey through everyday life most people can relate to, with twists and turns that keep you guessing until the very end. It is a book that is easy to read and understand. R.P. Sharpe presents a story that can shift your life and thinking towards becoming a more happy and joyous person. This author takes a mundane, depressed life that could be most people in Middle America and fills it full of soul expression that works for the character's highest good. It is thought-provoking with surprises we can learn and grow from. You find yourself laughing and sympathizing with the character and others in his life. It helps you look at people differently with new perspectives. The main character is down and out on his luck with a life filled with everyday challenges and situations that take him into despair and wanting to give up. He settles for a job he feels is beneath him, and in spite of it all, he is led through daily circumstances and new friends that help him turn his life around into positive happenings that are full of joy potential. Just when the character thought his life was over, a shift happens, allowing him to live more fully. There is potential to revolutionize your life into becoming a more joyous person when you follow the thinking and attitudes that are written within Joy Potential Where You Least Expect It.
Get that new perspective that Gail just spoke about. Pick up your copy of Joy Potential or give it as a gift. Go to joybook.me. That's joybook.me. Get your copy today.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. And again, that book is available. You can go to my website, www.biteradio.me. On there I have a link to that book as well as my new book that came out, It's No Secret, Spirituality Bites. And also my brand new creation as of last week is a calendar for 2015. And the theme for it is Dare to Dream in 2015. And each month has an inspirational focus, everything from dreams to intuition to gratitude and prayer. So be sure to check it out. I have a YouTube video right there on the home page. So with that, we're back to today's show. And again, my very special guest is Amy Ostreicher. And we are talking about your wonderful show, Gutless and Grateful. And it's again at Theater Row. And that's on 42nd Street. And for those of you listening, I do have information in the show page description, which has the contact information, the street address, the pricing, phone number for telecharge, and even a link to telecharge. So there's no reason why you can't go there and click on the link and get your tickets today. And again, her October 11th show is sold out, but there is a show on November 13th at 9 p.m., correct?
Yes, and come.
All right, yes. So go see Amy. Okay. Well, you know, one of the let's talk a little bit about your show, because you know one of the things that really I find fascinating and interesting is just the whole creative and inspirational process. You know, that people use, and that you have a abundance of that in your resume here. So for Gutless and Grateful, would you mind sharing with the listeners, first of all, when did the idea come to you, and kind of how did it unfold? How did the idea came to you, and then how did you go about making it a reality?
Well, starting way back before all this, I was a musical theater nerd. My free time was spent like browsing chat forums for Broadway and finding really obscure songs, and they would be like my diaries. My favorite activity was listening to cast albums and just putting myself in those roles. I told everyone, I used to tell everyone I do like an epic Sweeney Todd impersonation, and not Mrs. Lovett Sweeney Todd. And for me, they were like my outlet. It was, you know, how I could vent to like a diary. Like I would just do Sweeney Todd's epiphany when I was really angry or something like that. So I've always just really resonated with the art of storytelling through song. So I always had this fantasy of putting together a cabaret act. But, you know, as like a 15-year-old, I didn't really have a story to tell. You know, what do I get, you know, about my crush that wouldn't dance with me? You know, at my bar mitzvah. So, that was sort of tucked away. And then, you know, Coma and Susan and everything else. And, for me, you know, I was saying how my family gave me a sense of who I was. Also, you know, like everything else, what I loved to do gave me a sense of who I was. So obviously when I was unable to do it, it was very strange, you know, dissociating sort of. So I worked and worked like a dog to, you know, I had a trach and I couldn't talk. And, you know, once the trach was removed, you know, I could sort of get a faint, raspy whisper out, like, somewhere over the rainbow. But I kept going and going. And, you know, one of my brothers, Matt, who is a wonderful musician, he's actually, in the house band every week for amateur night at the Apollo. He would come to the hospital and he would just sit with me and play guitar, and every week we would sing Rainbow Connection or something until, you know, I eventually could sing a little bit. Then I eventually got some more range, and, you know, everything was very slow coming. We're talking about years here. So it took a while to really feel like I got, you know, my full power yet back. And once I did, though, I was unstoppable. All I wanted to do was sing. And that was another way to get back in touch with myself. I could sing and I could go back to what I used to love doing, and that made me feel vital. So, you know, finding my place in music and song and theater again, you know, that became my diary again, how I could get out all this frustration and confusion and uncertainty about, you know, when will I stop feeling sick? When will I be able to have my first sip of water? You know, remember, you know, throughout all this, you know, turning on the sink was dangerous because if I even took a sip, I'd die. You know, I had no strength to take in anything. So fast forwarding many, many years, I just, you know, the Today Show happened, which is how I met David. And then, you know, all these memories started resurfacing of, you know, times I had been through. And I would think, oh, there's a song that really, really I felt then. And it became fun, like scrapbooking, like auditory scrapbooking sort of, you know, picking songs from here and there, saying, yes, you know, I thought about the, you know, the message I wanted to tell from my act. And I think what I wanted to tell most is, you know, having a life all planned out and being really pissed off that it doesn't work that way, but finding a way to make it work and then it being even better. I sort of think of it like a mosaic. You know, you have this beautiful piece of pottery and you smash it, which really stinks. And then, you know, the work is putting it back together with the grout and the sweat and the tears. And it's different, but it's still beautiful. And that's what I feel. You know, you can't, you know, fit those pieces together exactly into that. But you have something. And who knew it was going to come out like that? So, you know, I don't, that might be a bit of an abstract answer to your question, but that was what this was like for me. And in the process of putting the act together, I sort of realized myself, you know, an acceptance for this. You know, guess what? I'm still alive. And this is what it is.
Yeah, well, you know, and I like the visual of smashing the pot in the mosaic, because, you know, right now, I think that if people were in the same position that you were, you know, it seems that there's really, you know, two choices. One is to do what you did and, you know, work your way back, even if it was slowly. And, you know, and the fact that you've done it over years is truly a testament to your willpower and strength, you know. But it was either that, or you could have continued to, you know, be the patient or the victim or the woe is me and look at the glass half empty. And
I also don't want to paint a black and white picture, because, you know, of course there were times, you know, we're all human, and I think we all get little glimpses of each side. You know, sometimes we see it half empty. Yes, and sometimes we just want to just give up. And I think, you know, my family always has this little joke that we watch a whole movie, and I'm like 5 years old, and I'm chasing my three petrified brothers around with a stick. And they are on the ground, and I'm shouting at them in my little five-year-old voice, "You'll never give up, right?" And they're like trembling in fear at this little five-year-old. They're like, "Yeah, we won't give up." And that's sort of the mentality I have, that things may be terrible, but you'll never give up. There's always hope somewhere.
Right. Yeah, we know. Yeah, I like it. That's good. Because, see, these are things, I mean, the imagery that you're using, you know, in describing your story are things that I believe that people who are going through challenges, and like you say, we all have them, you know, life is not, you know, a bunch of roses, you know, and peachy keen and rainbows for everyone every day. You know, that's just not the way that it is. But the key, like you said, is to, you know, kind of shake that off and, you know, be hopeful and, you know, work toward, you know, getting through that with as best an attitude as you can.
And give yourself permission to improvise or to deviate. You know, one of my classes actually at Hampshire is arts education. And we were talking about today, well, what do you do when you have a lesson plan but the kids just don't want to do it? Is it okay to just scrap that lesson plan and start a totally new journey? And it's okay. It might turn out even better. you have to be okay to jump off that ledge and accept that life is not going the way you want it. What can it be? And I think once I gave myself permission to say, you know what, I'm not going to have that path that I thought, you know, when you give yourself permission, you're the only one that puts those, you know, those labels and restrictions on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually planning my wedding in June. Who knew? I thought, you know, once I couldn't eat or drink, I would never be able to be around people anymore. It was so hard seeing someone with a bottle of water in their hand. But everything passes, you know, you shall pass.
Yeah, well, you know, and that is a very, you know, important lesson as far as, you know, detours or deviations, you know, because, we all do have plans, but, you know, that's the one thing that I think is really important, that as you go through life, you know, if you have a plan and things kind of shift, is to just, you know, go with it. And because, you know, it's kind of like you're walking a path and all of a sudden, you know, the path turns or you have like a fork in the road, or maybe there's a boulder there that you got to go around, you know, but all of a sudden, you know, the path that you're walking may bring you by an amazing waterfall, or, you know what I mean? It's just one of those things where you just don't know, you know, where that will lead. And I don't know, I just personally feel that, you know, we're guided along the way, you know, and, you know, even though life will hand us some surprises, I mean, they can be exciting as well.
And it's okay to make mistakes. And, you know, when I was saying how my parents knocked me out of the ICU to go shopping, we got in a little bit of trouble by the nurses, but the surgeon came over me after and he whispered, you know, I would have done the same thing. And because of that, I got my first breath of fresh air, which was amazing.
Yeah.
So it's worth it.
Yeah, now, and see, for your father, who's a doctor, to kind of do that, which is kind of, you know, going against the rules, that would have been a real big step on his part, you know, to kind of go against what he was going to do.
But yeah, that's exactly. So yeah, I was under a doctor's supervision, so it was okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Anyway, it's, you know, it's wonderful that you have, you know, that shift. Now, so with your show, you know, what is it that you hope that the audience, you know, will take away? In your show, first of all, do you go through the whole experience or the whole explanation of the coma and the no stomach and all of that?
I don't want to give too much away. I mean, what I will say is that people come into it. First of all, some people have no idea what it's about, so they're a little surprised. But I think people don't expect that it's actually a comedy. You know, you read the show little description, and it sounds like a terrible thing. And, you know, but my attitude isn't put on, you know. I feel like I was sort of born with that happy-go-lucky thing, and maybe it's just such a stubborn attitude that no amount of surgeries could take that away. But I kept looking up, and I found the humor in it, and I think it's nice for the audience because I can tell at first they don't know what to expect, and then, you know, the bomb hits them, and it's a little shocking, you know, like what just happened, and people get a little scared, and then, you know, they go through what I went through with me, and they feel those things, and by the end they can't help feeling, well, you know, not that that wasn't so bad, but wow, you can find sort of happiness from anything. And that was the coolest part for me, that people would actually come up to me and say, I helped them. You know, how wonderful is that? I just got to be on stage and do what I love.
There you go. Absolutely. Well, again, everyone, by the way, you can find out more about Amy by visiting her website, which is amyoes.com. That's AmyOes.com, and I do have that in the show page description. Excuse me. Amy, from your website, there are some of the music that you have there for people to listen, and I was going through and listening to them, and I uploaded a couple songs that I'd like to play, and I understand that they're not in your show, but I want to do that anyway. We're going to close today's show with one of them called My Dream. But
yeah, I want to interject a little. There's going to be more songs uploaded soon. But I was very surprised and happy that you're going to play those because these are two original songs I wrote a long time ago. My Dream I wrote when I was 15, just about the wonder I felt about nature and how beautiful the world was. So that was sort of before, you know, everything happened. And then the other one you're going to play, Mad Woman, is a song I wrote in the hospital, sort of looking back at all these things. So it's very cool that you're going to play those, but they're not in my show.
Yeah, well, when I heard My Dream and the connection with nature, that's one of my favorite things. I mean, I love it. As a matter of fact, while we were talking, one of my favorite people, Pat from North Carolina, came in. She's also very much a nature lover as well. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and play the song, actually, Mad Woman. We're going to play that one now. And that one, when I listened to that, I kind of laughed because the lyrics reminded me of a few people. And I said, after I listened to it, I sent emails out to a few and said, listen to this. You're going to like this one. So, but so I'm going to play Mad Woman now, and then when we come back, maybe you can tell us a little bit more about that one, okay?
Okay, great.
Okay, great. Okay, everyone, hold on. And this is about a 3-minute song.
Mm-hmm.
I just love that one, Amy.
I wrote that pretty fresh out of the hospital. I think that's a good example of how, you know, I woke up and really felt like I didn't belong, and things really felt like they sucked. But, you know, I eventually found my place.
Well, that's wonderful. And like I said, you know, the lyrics really resonated with a couple people that I know personally. So they're waiting for that miracle. But, that's really wonderful. Now, gosh, you know, we are down to 6 minutes, I just realized, and this whole hour has gone by so fast.
Wow.
You know, I know. It's great. And I know that you got another class to get to. Now, did I read correctly that it was screenwriting? Is that?
A playwriting class. I'm actually writing a straight play version of, which is a more abstract kind of interpretation of what I've been through. So that's going to be in the works. That will be the next project after Gutless and Grateful.
I can see that you probably have a lot of things on your plate. So, and you know, that's really encouraging. So, do you have any final any comments? You know, as far as what you maybe want the listeners to know about, or and again, maybe one last plug for Gutless and Grateful.
I think you guys should all come in November, and I think it will be, whatever it is, it's not what you're expecting. So come.
Expect the unexpected, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Don't even expect
Well, that's great. Don't even expect that. Okay, great. Just come in and enjoy. That's it. So, well, Amy, I have thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. Now, and again, we're going to close out with the song My Dream. And you said you wrote this one when you were 15, is that correct?
15. It was a dream I had about trees that could fly. And that was the view I had of the world, that everything was great and flying trees. And then this happened, but it's still great.
No, I love it. That's great. That's very much. I had a woman on who wrote a book. It's a children's book called The Yawning Rabbit River Chronicle. And she had some very interesting trees, you know. So I don't know if you do much reading, but it's a wonderful, even though it's a kind of a young adult or children kind of thing, I enjoyed it thoroughly. So, but thank you again for your time, Amy. I've really enjoyed it.
There's more songs on my website if you guys want to check it out. There's my art.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everything.
Yeah, I noticed. Yeah, you've got your art, awards, you know, the actress and singer in you, and all about Gutless and Grateful. So, yeah, definitely everyone check out Amy's website, www.amyoes.com, AmyOes.com. And I do have a direct link to that in the show page description. So, again, thank you, Amy. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Oh, thank you. I got to say, the website was made by my awesome fiancé. So enjoy.
Okay, good. All right, thank you very much. Okay, everyone, this is the song My Dream.
Trees bursting, bursting.
They couldn't take shading the daffodils or catching rain over sloping hills anymore. They'd need to hear their roots laugh and sway behind to brush against a god and finally soar. With a whipping of wind, they thrash and beg the soils to acquiesce. Planting back in empty graves, they rise like roving phantoms craving holiness. Ah, saw their branches turning, turning to fair angel wings, gliding through light that soaked their deserted forest. Who nurtured airborne kings? They bathe in slash of sky paint in pool of mist, their roots danced in praise of bliss free and odd. And all the town opened their windows in awe, cause no one ever saw a tree float to God. Dying town in glory, fly for us all. Oh, trees hover above our stores and our fuss. I know your skies are boundless, but will you bless us? Watch over us. Deserted grove, a patch of grass emerged to pine for flight. Music lifted from the grass to fly with angels dancing on mounds of starlight. Soon the world was soaring, garden to stone, harmony from their flight spread like watercolors and lured us out of our home. We watched the world dangle from spells in the sky, and for the first time in our lives we couldn't ask why. We just were. So maybe after years of grounded ease, all we're meant to be is swept by a breeze. Oh, our town is drenched in holy joy that spills from trees live anew. Someday I'll fly too.
Okay, everyone, and that was again My Dream from Amy Ostreicher. And again, do visit Amy. Go to her show November 13th, 9 p.m., and it is at Theater Row. I do have, again, information in the show page description on tickets. So also, if you are not in the New York area, send the link to today's show to your friends who are. Let's go ahead and make sure that this show, the November show, is sold out like the one in October. And again, you can find out more about Amy by visiting her website, which is amyoes.com, A-M-Y-O-E-S.com. And there is a direct link to her website in the show page description. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to BikeRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. To become a show follower, visit www.blogtalkradio.com/BikeRadioMe and click on the follow link. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at BikeRadioMe, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me, that's BITERADIO.ME. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.